Hello, people, and welcome to the Brunswick Beer Collective, recorded live once again at the Ale House in East Brunswick. I am Chris Shorten. With me is Paul Christoph and Jeff Chi. And they're both distracted looking at Untapped, and neither of them are listening to a word I'm saying. So, yes,
trying to prepare.
Well, we're not listening to what you're saying even when we're looking at you, so, you know, it's...
Well, it's touching.
We'd like to pretend, though. We should pretend. Sorry.
I was trying to prepare, but I thought I forgot about the pre-bit and prepare. Some more post. Is post-pair a word?
Well, words belong to us. We can make these words we want them to be.
Yes. Exactly.
But anyway, so this is episode 6, but it should have been episode 5 last week. Episode 6 last week, except the fact that I got stuck at a comedy show. But I blame Tom Gleason for that because he apparently ran late, then Rich Hall ran late. But that's a side issue. Because basically what we did last weekend is much more interesting than what we did the weekend before. Or at least I think it is. So last weekend we did a crawl, a pub crawl. And we've done pub crawls before, but this one in particular was a pub crawl on the south of the river.
Which we haven't done before.
No.
And,
you know, as the three of us, you know, we all live in Brunswickish, we're all northerners of sorts, that it's kind of, you know, crossing the river is a pretty big deal. So our crawl was essentially, Jeff, do you want to say how it went?
It started out actually a little bit edgy because, you know, because we basically met at Paul's house and we got the Uber. And we pretty much had to cross the river twice. We crossed once out to the west and then again as we came back south, and because the traffic from the north was absolutely shocking. But I think all in all it worked out quite well because it was meant to be pouring with rain for most of the day. But we actually got decent weather for most of the time. We completed, you know, 8 bars/pubs on schedule. Even through the driving rain towards the end, and even with drunk people not able to fully focus and be cognizant of time,
that's true. We were good for schedules, weren't we?
And I think the biggest surprise was I don't recall falling asleep at any point in time.
That's a good point. I mean, the serial sleeper. Well, because we knew you weren't at any of the venues that you could get away with falling asleep at.
And also, I think I just felt a little bit sort of edgy being south of the river. It's like, I don't know what happens if you fall asleep south of the river.
You're not safe.
Exactly.
I've heard stories. They're not fit to be shared.
No. Look, there could be children listening.
They're for the other podcast.
Yeah. No, let's not bring up that. I'm not doing any more podcasts. So, basically, we went on. I mean, I think we all probably have our stories from this thing. But we started out at Captain Baxter, which is in St Kilda, which we spent a long time trying to find.
We did.
It's There's no signage at all.
Yeah, you get to the Encore building in St Kilda on the beach, and you walk up to the thing, and Google Maps tells you it's there. You know it's there, but no one else wants you to know it's there. They like to deny the fact that it's there, despite the fact that you're there. You've made a booking, and you want to pay the money.
But see, to me, it felt like it was. It felt like something from a weird fantasy novel where you had to believe it was there for it to actually be there.
And then
finally we walked around and our friends had already got there. And so we walk around and we finally see it, and then it's up a few flights of stairs. And it's kind of sweet on the inside.
Yeah, so it's a really great spot.
Right.
Yeah, great view, good food.
Great service.
Yeah?
Yep, service is excellent.
I quite liked it, yeah.
Captain Baxter.
Yeah,
I
approve that.
That's right. And now that we know where it is...
Exactly.
You feel
sad for the poor sucker who next gets lost trying to find Captain Baxter.
Yeah,
that's right. It's probably never happened before.
No.
We're probably the first people to get lost.
People from south probably know exactly where it is.
That's right.
But, okay, so fast forwarding to, God, how many beers? About 6 pubs in or something. So the low light for me, I suppose, was, we wound up at a place called Kid Boston. And it's all on Chapel Street. And I was drunk, but I was hiding it at that point. And so I looked at the menu, and the first thing on the menu was the crab roll. And, I mean, I love lobster rolls, so I figured, okay, this could work. So I get the crab roll, and it takes a little while for them to come out, because, you know, we ordered all at the same time. And there was about 18 or so of us.
Yeah, it was a big group.
Yeah.
And so I finally, and pretty much without even, like, I wouldn't have even paused. I just... picked it up, put it in my in my giant hands, mostly because it was incredibly tiny. But and scoffed at Dan within the space of, I reckon, maybe a minute at most. I probably stopped to breathe at some point, but I think that was probably negligible. Then I, both myself and a friend who was sitting opposite, we both hiccup for about 2 hours straight.
So you basically hiccup from there to the end of the pub room. We still had two venues to get to from that point in time. So
and all that time, I was thinking that I don't think I've hiccuped for about maybe 10 years or something.
I mean, it's not a thing you do as a human adult.
I mean, I don't know the chemical imbalance that causes a man to hiccup.
But if anyone ever read Tintin, what did Captain Haddock do when he was drunk?
Hiccuped, didn't he?
He hiccuped.
Oh, there you go.
Captain Baxter, Captain Haddock, Southwater.
Yeah, you're right. It's a southern disease.
It's a southern disease.
But I think we can all agree Kid Boston was the low light of that particular adventure, you know. Well, at least I think we all had a uniformly poor experience at Kid Boston anyway. I don't know.
Look, I think they did a good job in terms of the fact that, you know, we didn't book at all and we were 18 drunk people that had taken over their back bar.
But
led by me, of all people.
Sure, but to the conversation Paul and I were having just before we started, I think that, you know, if you are a venue of a given size and you get to choose what size you are and how many tables you have, you need to be able to, on a Saturday night, you need to be able to serve the number of people who could theoretically be in your venue in a moderately expedient manner. Like, I don't mean I order the food and it instantly appears in front of me. That would also be a concern. But I think, you know, you should be able to, in a moderately confident
way. I mean, you don't even get that at McDonald's.
There
were some service issues.
But, okay, what were the highlights of this pub crawl for you guys?
I think for me, I mean, and I knew it was going to be good anyway, was Chapel Street Cellars. So Chapel Street Cellars is a bottle shop on Chapel Street. It's pretty much directly opposite Kid Boston, across the road. And you basically go in there and you can buy your beers and you can just sit down and drink them outside. And there's no corkage fee or bottleage fee or whatever fee that you would call it.
No.
It
is really a gem in there.
You pay for a glass, if you want to use a glass, which is fair enough, you've got to wash them. But otherwise, you can just just drink in, and we just dominated with this massive table on the outside, and we just sat there just sinking beers for an hour and a half.
Not just beer either, amazing wines.
Yep, amazing wine selection
so,
also.
That's true.
My wife and I had a 40th to go to after the pub crawl, and we decided to buy the birthday boy a bottle of wine, and we found this lovely French rosé, and they had all these interesting wines from Australia and around the world that we hadn't seen before.
And I noticed they even had a gift bag.
And they'd gift bags there, yes. Mm-hmm. So,
I mean, it's everything you want in an alcohol store.
Yeah. I think so.
Right. And look, from my perspective, they had, you know, 5 a.m. Saint for $5 a bottle. I mean, granted, it was out of date, but that's beside the point. It's such a good beer.
It is a very good beer.
Right. So that... All right. Paul, what was your highlight?
I like the local tap house. But, I mean, been there, you know, probably 5-6 times before. I didn't realise that there was an upstairs and an outdoor area until Saturday. But it was just a great area. I mean, it's always a great spot, but yeah, when the weather's nice, it's outside, they've always got an amazing selection.
I think they had a particularly good list this Saturday as well. I was particularly impressed this weekend with what they had pouring. So yeah.
Well, service is always good there, staff always know their stuff.
Yeah.
What was that first beer that you got us all?
It was the Session Double IPA by Illawarra Brewing.
That was quite good, but it didn't quite hit our... for those listening at home, we had a rule, or at least I made the rule, that we weren't allowed to have over 10% beers until the second half of the pub crawl, simply because, well, it kills us and then we never make it to the end.
So
and we had to make it to the north.
That's right. So, of course, what we did was drink only beers that were between 8% and 9% alcohol for the first half of the pub crawl. That's pretty much what we did. We just, leveraged what you said.
Well, it said it was sessionable.
Exactly. It was called the Session Double IPA. So, I mean, if it lied to us, that's not my fault.
It's like an 8 or a 9%, isn't it?
I think it was close to... It was 7.8. So it's close to 8. Yeah, it's pretty punchy for
someone up in Illawarra has an interesting definition of session.
Look... Maybe they're just tougher in Illawarra. I don't know.
It was a good beer, though.
It was a great beer.
Yeah.
And then we had the 8-wired,
Eight Wide Renaissance. What was it?
Scotch.
Scotch mixed with something. Yeah. It was very tasty.
Yeah, that was really good.
Yeah.
I mean, actually, no, that was only 7.5. I remember looking at the bottle, thinking, "What have I done with myself?" but it was actually quite good.
Nice. Yeah, I think I had the Motley Brew, which I had to have because of their reference to Motley Crue. That was
obviously.
I was going to start a couple of my mates who were there are big heavy metal fans as well, so we both had some chuckles about that.
Makes sense.
That was a good session. It was a good session. It was a good way to kick off the day, particularly because from there to the next venue, which was the Newmarket Hotel, was a little bit of a walk. So we
That's
needed
true.
To essentially no.
Newmarket was second.
That was Newmarket second. Local Tower's third, but it was a hike from the Tap House then to, was it up to Chapel Street? So
yeah.
Was next
yeah.
So that also was a bit of a hike,
but,
so it was
but
good
that,
to get
that's,
that.
That's always the required walk.
Basically. Absolutely.
But, so, I think that was a big highlight, but I guess we should mention what we did the night before, which was essentially we were here at the Owl House, and...
Well, yes, we were.
We were. So I mean, just for the people sitting at home, that last week was Owl House's 8th Hopfest, and...
They pretty much do one every week. I don't know how it's up to number 8.
I don't know. It should be more like 128 or something.
Yeah,
like that.
Exactly. I feel like, you know, the publican can't count.
Which
he can't
spell.
Yeah, we know that.
We know that.
He can't spell. He probably can't count. But so what he does is the one thing he can do is get one-off beers or new beers into the venue. So
he's a powerful man.
He had around about 20 different hop driven beers, so whether they be IPAs or hoppy pale ales, hoppy wheat beers, all of which I think were either one-off kegs or the first time they'd been poured in Victoria.
Yep.
I think pretty much everything that went on that week. But he had done a collaboration brew with Mornington Pincer Brewing a couple of months ago called the Continuous Daryl, which is this 60-minute continuous hop IPA in the style of the Dogfish Head 60-minute IPA.
Did we ever find out what the Daryl meant?
No.
Someone calls someone Daryl, I'm guessing by Facebook posts.
Okay.
Yeah, that would have been part of the pre-pair, which we did not do.
Yeah, I'm guessing it's an in-joke.
Good point.
Yeah, it's probably an in-joke.
Yeah, I was busy driving.
Yeah, Paul was out of town and he got stuck in traffic and kept on sending us some really sad photos from his odometer.
And when we say out of town, we meant Chadston.
I was in Chadston. It took me an hour and a half to get to Brunswick. Grand total of 14 kilometres an hour. It was marvellous. I was very thirsty by the time I arrived.
So before we go into the first beer then, because you've pretty much texted Jeff and said, get me a beer, a pulled pork burger, stat. And that worked out.
The beer was very nice though.
Yeah.
It was very...
Yeah.
It was not a session beer,
but it's a very classic... Double or Imperial IPA, like it's got a bit of that sweetness to it, which often comes through when you increase the alcohol content because you need to use
more sugar
or whatever it is that you use.
Cocaine. Yeah.
As you wish.
Cocaine's
again,
a hell
whatever
of a drug.
It is that you use. Apparently, it intensifies your personality. It's a good thing I never got into it because I don't think that would work well.
I don't
anybody.
Think any of us could handle
no.
that.
No.
No.
So really, really nice beer though, and I'm told Alex spent all weekend drinking it.
Which. Look, he had already drank a lot when we saw him on Friday.
That's right.
And, you know, I would like to think that at his house he has his own private tap with his own private keg.
Yes, I think it was just a continuous process.
Just as
the beer
just
is. Just like Daryl.
Look, it was... I did enjoy it, but I think at the time I was really looking for something that was a lot lighter and a lot more refreshing.
No, I enjoyed it, yeah.
Yeah, well, it certainly kickstarted your night on Friday night.
Yeah, well, it was supposed to be a quiet night, given that we had the pub crawl on Saturday, and it ended up being a much bigger night.
What was the beer that you think it undid you?
That one that you mentioned, the dark...
The Black Market?
Black Market. Yeah, that was had at the point that no beer should have been had.
And it's never about necessarily that the beer is like the most alcoholic one that you had, it's like the most punchy flavor-wise you had. It's just the one where your brain should have gone, no.
Yeah, I probably shouldn't have had
it. I just had such a terrible week that it was, I needed to wind down. And
well, it's fair enough. And, you know, you pulled double duty. You backed up and you were there from start to finish on Saturday. So
even though the first place you did have water.
That was more by choice, though. There was nothing. They look, the cats are back, so they have good beers, but given what we knew was going to be coming that day, I wasn't going to drink a, you know, beer that I've had many times before.
I think that's fair.
Yeah.
Right. Alrighty, I think we should move on to our first beer. We've been sipping it for a little while. Paul's almost finished it.
Yeah.
Only
4%.
Good point. So what are we drinking?
The Mornington English Ale.
Yep.
Which is, as I mentioned earlier, 4%. I don't know if that's done because, as with many beers in England now, you'll find they are 4%. And that is because, well, in the UK actually, that's for tax purposes. If your beer is no more than 4% alcohol content, you can get a tax benefits.
Well, I think it's similar in Australia. I think that the amount of duty that gets levied on beer is scaled to the amount. I don't know what the tierings are, whether it's, you know, whether there's some magic threshold at 4%.
I thought it was volume of beer produced in Australia.
Maybe you're right, actually. It could be, yeah, the number.
It's the same in the States. Anyway.
So,
yeah.
I suppose the big question, or the first question, is do we think it actually tastes like an English ale?
So
I think it's hard to tell because it's too cold. Yeah, it needs to be served out of a hand pump in order to be able to figure out whether it actually tastes like an English ale, I think.
By a busty beer wench. Though technically it was served by an Australian, so that's half the battle.
That's true. He's pretty wenchy.
By a beard wench.
That's right.
Sorry, go on. I'm overtaking people.
No, I think you can tell that the flavour's under there. So I think if this was served on the hand pump at room temperature, it would taste like a proper English ale.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely doesn't taste like an Australian or American pale ale, which would be a lot more florally, more fruity, and much more hoppy. So it's, I don't mind it, actually.
Yeah, it's nice.
Mm.
So let us see. What have we got to say? So Foz drank this at Fitzroy Pinnacle. An interesting drink, very seasonable.
Seasonable. I'm guessing that means sessionable.
Strong malt caramel presence with a bit of citrus. So I'd agree with all that. I can definitely taste the malt and the caramel flavours through that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I don't tend to session this sort of beer. But someone who was into this style, so Chris, you're into red ales, you would probably find this a lot more to your palate.
I could drink a lot of them, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like this.
Yeah, I like it, but I find it difficult to sit for a whole session on a red ale. I find it a lot more bloating than drinking an IPA that's a bit crisper and more. I don't know why that is, but that's just mine.
I never thought of it that way.
Yeah,
I think the thing for me is that I never really used to drink beer that much until I moved to England.
Right.
So okay. It was the classic English ales that really got me into beer drinking. So
okay.
Yeah.
I mean, we spoke about a few weeks ago how my father was looking for an English ale, and he got a load of what were essentially English craft beers that were also ales, that I think he would really like this at room temperature as an English ale.
The Three Ravens is another really good one.
It is.
You have that on hand pump and that tastes bang on.
Agreed. And I mean, I guess to, you know, a slight extension of the style would be the ESB style would be sort of somewhat tangent to this one as well. Something like the Hargreaves Hill ESB
is
a great beer. It used to be my stock. When I first started drinking craft beer, it was my stock beer. We all have that beer that we started on. And I'm
still going. Cooper's Green. Thank you.
Well, and it was. I think it was one of the first beers I had on Saturday. They had the ESB at Captain Baxter. So I just thought, you know, a bit of a reversion to the old days. Why not? Nice. In fact, well, there's not that many people have checked in this beer. This must
no,
be a new release.
I was
release.
Looking for other comments, and there was not really much.
Yeah, this beer has been on Untappd. It's been had a total of 12 times.
Which means in total, it's only ever been had 12 times.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Right. Pretty much.
So there we go.
So what do we give it?
I gave it my classic 3.5. but I did comment that if it was on the hand pump at room and at room temperature, I think it would be a 4.
Ooh. I think that's... I like that, yeah.
Yeah.
I think I'd give it a 3. I'm just not that much of a fan of the style. It's my issue.
No, I think I think I can go along with that. I think it works as an English ale, and that kind of impresses me.
Right. Cool.
Very good.
And we're back. And for our second beer, we have something I've never, ever seen before. And I'm going to read it from the label instead of asking someone, mostly because there is a label this time. This is from a... Let's see, where is that brewery?
It's in San Diego, California.
Look, I'm just going to read the front of the label. It's called Matt's Burning Rossets Imperial Cherrywood Smoked Saison.
Wow.
Honoring his memory.
Wow.
I haven't even sipped this yet. Look, the entire bottle looks impressive. Just give me a second.
That's quite...
smoky.
Smoky. Like, I've never had a smoky saison before.
Gosh, yeah.
It's really interesting, isn't it?
Yeah.
It is really interesting.
So this must be part of the current influx of stone into Australia. So stone...
Yes.
The first official shipments of stone kegs just arrived, like, the other day, basically. So I reckon this is alongside that.
Okay. What's the backstory?
Because the head brewer, he was here... when was it?
Back in... when was that night we had at Forrester's?
So about seven weeks ago?
Yeah, that's right. So basically, with the... importation of craft beer into Australia, particularly from the US, you, like with iPhones, actually, you get official imports and you get grey imports. Except with grey imports of electronic goods, basically they work the same here as they do over there. The problem with grey imports of beer is that you've got no quality control over the conditions in which it's shipped, whether it's chilled on the way over, pressurised, all that sort of thing. And so stone beer has made its way over here from time to time, but it's never been done on proper channels.
Ah.
This is the first time that we've had proper, fully legit importation of stone beer into Australia.
And
like in keg form. Bottles have been coming for ages.
Sneaking in for ages.
Or properly arriving for ages, as the case may be as well, but the kegs.
Experience it beverages from North Manly are the importers.
What do we think of this?
Well, right beer, a 100 out of 100.
What does that mean?
That means good.
Ah.
So for those listening at home, Rate Beer is a crowdsourced beer rating website where basically beers will be listed and people can go on. They rate beers, and the beers get put a percentile score on two categories. One is within their own style. So basically, based on an average rating out of 5, they'll get a percentile score within their style. So this is 100 out of 100, I presume it means against all beers, which means it must be in the top 0.1 percentile of all beers rated on Rate Beer. But, so you get no steering. So you get one against its own style and one against every other beer in the universe that it's been compared against. So
people
think it's very good.
Look, I can see what they might be saying here. I mean, it's a really interesting beer. It's really quite intense, I think.
It's not very saison-y because of that smoke. So, some comments. Will C calls it smoke on nose, but bright taste. Green banana flavour backed with a slight sweet and smoke. Bit of Belgian sour on back. I'll give it the Belgian sour. I do get that aftertaste, that sort of Belgian-y aftertaste to it.
No, it's definitely hiding in there.
Yeah, green banana. I don't think I know what green banana tastes like.
No, I don't know either.
Yeah, so I can't comment on that, but definitely smoky.
Yeah.
And definitely tasty. I like it. And it got me a badge.
Yeah, it got me a badge too.
I got trip to the farm level 8.
I got land of the free 30-something.
I don't know what either of those mean.
So
land of the free is the American badge.
Yeah, so Paul's had now, was it 180... or what, 200?
Yeah.
Something like that. I can't do maths anymore. Beers. And mine means I've had 40 saisons.
Ah.
This is huge. Wowzers. Says Vic Beer O'Clock.
Then Britta G, who heard this at Beer Deluxe. Oh my, Cherrywood Smoked Saison. Smells super aromatic and herbal. Sweet to start off with a smoky finish. I would say it's just smoky all the way through, but, you know.
Borge J said, Hervar dit mei sem skidde. Inside God Saison med in Naglik Roismak I backgrunnen. Look da var Naglik.
If anyone listening at home would like to translate that.
How is my Swedish? Not good, I assume.
I think that just means this beer is good.
I've never come across a Czech from Sweden. or in Swedish. And
no.
The name of the bar that he checked, he or she checked the beer in, definitely. There's lots of O's with lines through them. So I'm guessing it's in Sweden.
Ah, yeah, I see the one. I see the one. There you go.
19th of April. So it seems that there have been a lot of check-ins on this beer.
Recently.
In the last
week.
That's right.
So
that's right.
And, I mean, we've bought a bottle of it, and that's, I guess, two-thirds filled our pot glasses, and it's 10.5%.
Yeah.
It tastes like a 10.5%. Yeah.
It definitely tastes punchy, this one.
Chip C in Portsmouth Brewery gave it the two multi. The smoke is very interesting. I like that bit. Gave it 2 stars. Two multi is not something... It's not very multi.
I don't get the malt character off that. I mean, unless he's confusing that aftertaste with a malt aftertaste, but I don't think it's malt-driven, whatever it is.
No, I think there is... You know, once you get past that initial smoky taste, you can taste a little bit of the saison.
Yeah, that's right.
And that's what sort of lingers.
I think so.
Matt R. Man, this one was tough. Certainly an intense beer, but kind of tasted like I dumped an ashtray in a saison. but he gave it 3.5, so he didn't give it a bad score. And his mate, Derek W., said, tastes like barbecue.
Matt E. says...
I'm thinking that this beer must have been almost had a worldwide launch, because that check-in's from... Five Points Brewery in Atlanta. Five Points Beer Shop in Atlanta. So there seems to be a lot of check-ins
in the past week
from all over the world.
That's right.
So it's like a Hollywood film that they're releasing it simultaneously.
Well, it makes
everywhere.
Me kind of happy to think that we're getting this beer usually we get legitimate US imports, we get them.
That's right.
Very late.
I mean, so Matt E. says, it's like they took a perfectly good saison and put a piece of burnt wood in the barrel. It's good up front. The aftertaste is smoky. I don't think he liked it.
No, I'm getting that impression.
I'm getting a lot of people that just don't like smoked beers.
Yeah.
They're complaining about the smoke, but that's clearly
like
what it's advertised as.
If you don't like smoked beers, then don't buy something that says on the bottle, Imperial Cherry with Smoked Saison. You're probably not going to
buy it. Clearly has been smoked.
That's
does right. involve smoked cherry wood.
All right. Pardon me. So what do we think of this beer, then?
I really like it.
Yeah, I gave it a 4.
I'd give it a 4.
I really like it.
I don't rate saisons normally.
I like saisons. I like smoked beers. So
I like smoked beer though. So
yeah, it works.
Look, I like it as well. I probably wouldn't rush out to go and buy it, but I enjoy it. All right, ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to the Brunswick Beer Collective. I'm Chris Shorten. We've had Jeff Chi here.
See you.
And we've had Paul Christoph.
Good night.
And we shall hear. You should hear us next time.